72BA, Cocoa Beach, and Vieira.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good morning to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning in once again to the Refresh radio program right here on WMIE 91.5 FM, today's Modern Worship. And we are going to be in Isaiah, the 11th chapter today. Isaiah, the 11th chapter. We're going to be looking at verses 1 through 5. So I would like to take an opportunity to invite you out to our Wednesday night midweek service. It's all about discipleship. It's we've got a discipleship group that meets in the sanctuary, 7 p.m. It's about disciples making disciples who will make disciples. We've got a youth service that's going on at 7 p.m. and that's in the fellowship hall, and we've got a great team over there as well. And so if you do not have a church home, maybe you'd just like to come and check out a service. We're constantly going through topics that are freestanding. In other words, if you weren't able to get there last week, that's not going to hinder you from being able to understand what's going on this week. And so come and be a part of that. We provide the study guides. We got the tables, we got the chairs, we got a pen if you need a pen. The only thing we don't have there is you. And so if you'd like to come, we would be honored if you chose to join us and in our study of God's Word. We want people who know the Word. I have conversations with a lot of people in a lot of different regions of the country, and I hear some strange things from time to time, and I will end up saying things like this: that's not biblical. And we don't want to be guilty of believing things that the Bible doesn't say. So I remember watching a Robert Morris preaching video, and he was talking about his daughter, I believe, who was doing a Bible study, and she said, "Would you like to hear what I'm sharing?" And she ran through it, and she said, "Well, what'd you think?" And he said, "It's a great message. It's a great message. There's only one problem with it." And she said, "Oh, what's that?" And he said, "It's not biblical." if you know, you'd have to have his personality to be able to get by with that. A lot of people don't like to be confronted with that. I had a person that told me where they wanted me to spend eternity because I said something like that one time, and they weren't wanting me to go to heaven. Let me just say that. So we're looking to make sure that our beliefs line up with the Word of God. We're not looking to manipulate the Word of God into aligning with our beliefs. So you'd like to be a part of that, we'll see you tonight at 7 p.m. Isaiah chapter 11. So on yesterday's program, we were talking about how God breathes on the nations and sifts them to determine if they're worthless, if they're futile, if they're empty, or if they are in fact priceless. Today, we are going to go to Isaiah chapter 11, where it is a messianic prophecy referring to Jesus, and it tells us how he is going to deal with the wicked. And please understand, there is a plan to deal with that. God is not ignoring what is going on. He is He is very aware. He's aware of the thoughts that people think, the schemes that they have going on in their head. And he's going to come and deal with them by his Spirit. Let's go to verse number 1 of Isaiah chapter 11. There shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. His delight is in the fear of the Lord, and he shall not judge by the sight of his eyes, nor decide by the hearing of his ears, but with righteousness he will judge the poor and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. He shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall slay the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt of his loins, and faithfulness the belt of his waist. So Jesus is the rod that shall come from the stem of Jesse. And it says here in verse number 2 that the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. So this is not just a, when we're talking about the breath of his lips in verse number 4, we're not just talking about a fleeting activity or a one-off. We're not talking about something that is just going to take place and where did that come from or anything. Listen, Jesus' ministry was because he was filled with the Spirit. He was led by the Spirit. Another place says he was driven by the Spirit. The ministry of God, the Holy Spirit, was so vitally important that Jesus told the disciples, it is in your best interest for me to return to the Father's right hand, because if I do not go, God, the Holy Spirit, will not come, and you need him. He will guide you into all truth. And so, as a Pentecostal, I am not looking for an experience. I am looking for an inhabitation. I'm looking for the Spirit of the Lord to be able to rest upon me as a pastor, the Spirit of the Lord to rest upon us as a church, the Spirit of the Lord to rest upon his churches, and feel comfortable. Not just a visitation, but a habitation. And so there are several different areas that are attributed to the Holy Spirit. All of these are capital S, and the first one is the Spirit of the Lord. So when people think of you, they may think of the nice things that you've done. They may think of some of the experiences that they've had with you. They may even remember some of the words that you said. But ultimately, they will remember you for the person that you are. Please never forget that God is the Lord of Lords. Nebuchadnezzar was referred to as the King of Kings until he met the King of Kings. And never forget that the Spirit of the Lord is the Spirit of the Sovereign One, the self-existent one. He doesn't get his credentials from any place else. He is the source of his credentials. His holiness is extremely valuable. And he longs to be the central aspect of our lives. Not just, well, I don't have anything better to do, so I'll just go do something else. That's not it. He wants to be the central, most important, high and lifted up thing in our lives. And when we see God elevated to that position, the Spirit of the Lord says, that's the place that I'm comfortable right there. That's the place that I'm comfortable. The Spirit of the Lord is also the Spirit of wisdom. The Spirit of the Lord is the Spirit of wisdom. So I tell people that when the Holy Spirit prompts you to do something, and it requires faith on our part, that faith and wisdom are not exclusive of one another. They are complementary of one another. In order for me to avail myself of the Spirit of wisdom, I've got to recognize that God has more information, more experience, more success than what I've got. There's no one better at finance than God. There's no one better at redemption than God. There's no one better at forgiveness. There is no one better at construction. There is no one that is more qualified in the areas of biology. There's any field that you name, you know, political science, dealing with people, all of those things God is superior at. And so the Spirit of wisdom is not the wisdom of this world. It is the wisdom of heaven. It is not wisdom for a moment. It is wisdom for eternity. So how smart is humanity? We keep trying the same thing that toddlers do over and over and over. And I understand that for some of the growing experience, that there is a spreading of your wings. Isn't it funny? As a child, we're trying to grow to the point of independence from our parents. And as a child of God, we continue to grow towards dependence upon our Heavenly Father. So I can remember times that my kids were doing something and they would be working at it and working at it and working at it and getting frustrated because they're related to their father, and they would get, and I don't know if you picked up on that little thing or not there, I had impacts on my kids' personalities in good ways and some not so good ways. And I would say, would you like my help? No, I can do this myself. Well, I've reached the stage in life where, you know what I'm looking for? I'm looking for it to be done the right way, the quickest way, with all of the assistance that God has for me. I want to avail myself. I'm not looking to try and prove how wise I am. I'm looking to walk in the wisdom that the Spirit of God has. Wisdom is spiritual. It's not intellectual. It's not philosophical. It's not experiential. Wisdom is spiritual, the wisdom God wants us to have. And it's personal. So the Holy Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, is the Spirit of wisdom. He is also the Spirit of understanding. Understanding says, you know, I realize I didn't respond as quickly to God as I should have. Therefore, I can be patient with my loved ones who haven't responded yet because God was faithful to me, and I believe He's going to be faithful to them. There are some people who've had success, but they didn't really understand why. There's the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And the scripture also says, with all of your getting, get understanding. That means that you've got to understand people. You've got to understand God. You've got to understand how to get people from point A to point B. And that's all very, very challenging. So we need the Spirit of God. It's the Spirit of counsel. The scripture says, in the multitude of counselors, there is wisdom. Whenever I am dealing with a person and they have demonstrated or vocalized that there's nothing else to learn, I begin to prepare myself, because that means that they're getting ready to make a transition. You know, there's a person who is the object of, you know, many jokes that over 100 years ago said we should close the patent office because everything that could be invented has been invented. And folks, I'm here to tell you there is so much technological advancement that is going on now that I don't know if the patent office could keep up with all of the different advancements that are going on. So you and I, we need to surround ourselves with people who are smarter than we are. I've told you before, a person I know said, pastors, surround yourself with people who are smarter than you are and then get out of the way and let them do their job. And that's what I try and do. I don't want to be the person that is, you know, the foremost in every category. Because that same person had a person working for them, and that person went to the pastor and said, "Hey, how do I do this?" And the pastor responded to them with these words: "If you've got to come to me for every one of these types of decisions, then one of us is unnecessary." And so he was communicating to them that they needed to figure some things out. But I think it's good to run things by other people. I hope you've got trusted confidants that you have in your life that have been placed there by God, who will not use your conversations as weapons, but will use those conversations to help you to be the best you can be at what God has called you to be. And so anytime I see something in the scriptures that is like a new revelation to me, I've got a person in my life and I call and I said, "Look, my number one goal is to not be involved in any heresy. And so would you tell me, am I on track or am I missing the mark with what I see here in this passage?" So nothing that comes to me is beyond examination, because I want people to help me to be the best me that I can be. So one of the things that I've never understood is people who refuse to empower others to teach them in their life. In football, you have players who have great skills, but in order for them to be successful, they need a coach who can devise a game plan that will maximize those skills. And a coach who tries to implement a strategy designed for one player's skill set that is not the same skill set of the players that he has now, that coach is going to soon find himself unemployed. Counselors, in this case, would be the equivalent of coaches. And then there's the players that have to perform, and that's you and I. And we've got to execute the plan. So there are professional golfers. And did you know that many of them have teams around them that help them with the business aspects of the sport. There are swing coaches that help them with their golf swing. There are coaches around them that help them with their mindset. There are caddies that are there to help them to minimize the risk and maximize the reward. There are putting coaches. You would think everybody on a professional tour has got to be a good putter, but guess what? They don't need to be a good putter. They need to be a great putter. And so when I see the counselors that the elite surround themselves with, I'm often bewildered by the people who are not nearly at that skill set, that matters that are much more important than golf. And they say, well, I don't really need any spiritual counsel in my life. I can just figure it out by myself. That's never made any sense to me. It just never has. Because you need people who are going to help you to succeed more than you would have without them, to minimize failures. Now, I can tell you, as parents, we weren't there to bail our kids out at every turn. We tried to equip them for success, position them for success. If they chose to reject that counsel, we just tried to position them in such a way that when they learned the lesson of failure, that it wasn't a final lesson, but instead that they learned from that. So there's also the spirit of might. Please understand that you serve an omnipotent God. There is spiritual power because we are in a spiritual battle. And spiritual battles cannot be won through natural means, financial means, or intellectual means. None of those things impress the enemy at all. But I will tell you this, that when you are walking in spiritual might, in spiritual power, that the enemy knows that he is facing imminent defeat. But he's not intimidated by your reputation. He's not intimidated by your bank account or your title. He doesn't shake in his boots because, you know, people call me pastor. But when Jesus is living inside of you and you are submitted to God, and because of the fact that you've submitted to God, you now are in a position to resist the devil, and God's going to give you grace in that area, it says the devil's going to flee. One of my objectives that I would love to accomplish is to flip the script where people are not fearful and intimidated by spiritual adversity, because the Spirit of the living God, the omnipotent one, is living inside of you, and he's never been outsmarted, never been caught unaware, and never been overpowered. It goes on and it says, the spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. So I saw a video clip of John Bevere. And I think this had to do with the book, The Fear of the Lord. And he was preaching, and he had written a book, and he'd got invited to minister to this person. I'm not going to name the person. I'll leave you up to looking that person up. But this was a person who had a pretty spectacular failure. And that person invited him in to have a conversation. And John Bevere said, during the midst of that conversation, he asked this person a question. He said, can you tell me, and, you know, with all of your success, when was it that you stopped loving Jesus? And he said, oh, I never stopped loving Jesus. He said, I always loved Jesus. That wasn't my problem. My problem was I had stopped fearing the Lord. There are several passages, you know, when the Bible says that he knows the thoughts that we think and the intentions we have in our heart, that is a very intimidating passage of scripture for me. When it says that we're going to have to give account for every word that crosses our lips, and that they need to be words of faith, they don't need to be idle words or words that are without power, that's very intimidating. When he knows everything we've ever done and everything that every time we failed him or come up short, those are very humbling. And so I just want to ask you today, how's your awareness of God and his holiness? So I know that there are a lot of people, and they talk about the aspect of the Heavenly Father, like being a daddy and stuff like that. And I understand the point. And I understand the affection. But I also understand he's holy. And you know what I don't want to do? I don't want to, in my presumption or even my naivety, I don't want to be so naive that I just presume, oh, well, it's going to be okay. I want to live in a healthy reverence for God. The Spirit of the Lord resting upon Jesus was one that knew how awesome God is, how holy he is. And he has the ability to say, be holy even as I am holy. So he has this remarkable capability of making this flawed pastor holy by declaring us holy, knowing that Jesus shed his blood. And then we should say, you know what, God, I never want to disappoint you in that area again. I pray that our Christianity will shift from not what we can get by with, but what is the most that we can do to bring glory to him. We'll finish this passage tomorrow. You have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow. Right.
Thank
here
you
on
for
Refresh.
Tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Excitingly different story.
Yeah.